भगवते वासुदेवाय सुलंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय First, I offer my respects to all the pious people, all of you who have kindly come to listen to this talk. May the blessings of Lord Sri Krishna be upon you all. The topic of discussion today is, are atheists rational? In Shastra, there is a statement, Dvo bhuto sargo loke smin daiva asura evacha Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tadvipariyaha. There are two kinds of people. Within the whole universe, there are two kinds of people. One is called deva, godly. And the other is asura, which is ungodly. The devas, they are the devotees of Vishnu, and the asuras, they are opposed to devotion to Vishnu. Especially the more pious people, the godly people, they are born in this pious land of India. Everyone, every living being is born according to their karmic activities, karmic reactions. If people have acted very piously in a previous life, they may be born in Swarga. If someone has acted very sinfully, then they have to go to hell. And if they, they acted sinfully, they also may take birth as hogs, dogs, frogs, and other living entities. Human life is the opportunity to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And persons who are most pious, they're generally born in this land of India. By the arrangement of Bhagawan, there is a place called Swarga where people go for material enjoyment. By the arrangement of Bhagawan, there is a place called Narak where people go for material suffering. And by the arrangement of Bhagawan, there is the tract of land called Bharatavarsha, in which people who are ready for spiritual advancement, according to their previous pious activities, they are born here. Of course, some very sinful people have been born here, some big asuras. The name of Kamsa, who wanted to kill Krishna, is well known. He was also born in India. And generally, when there is any serious endeavor to propagate God consciousness, then the asuras will become more angry. Just like we find in this area here. The greatest Tamil speaker ever was Ramanuja. Now, if we say Ramanuja, people think of a mathematician. But, of course, the original Ramanuja is Lakshman in the Ram Leela. The Ram Leela, Lakshman, he is Ramanuja. And Ramanuja is also a name of Krishna because he's born after Balaram. And Sri Ramanuja Acharya is that great Vaishnava Acharya who preached that we should surrender our lives in the service of Sriman Narayana. The very best thing that anyone can give to anyone else is this feeling for worship of Sriman Narayana. But there was a local king who wanted to kill him. So everywhere there are godly people and ungodly people. And generally, in this pious land, they're mostly godly people. I was born in this lifetime, I was born in a very ungodly place. I was born in London, in England. Oh. Now, in London, there's a population of about 8 million, something like that. If we call a meeting for Krishna consciousness in London, we won't get as big a crowd as this. What is the population of Karur? Not one crore, that's for sure. Anyway, that's Hindi, so. How much is it? 3 lakhs? 3 lakhs, 4 lakhs, something like that. But so many people are coming to hear topics of Shastra, of Bhagavan. So the people here are by nature very pious. So especially in Kali Yuga we'll find that the ungodly people, they will want to spoil your piety. And in all of India, in this area in particular, the influence of atheism has been very strong for the last, 60, 70 years like that. There has been very strong propaganda, there is no God. And people who make such propaganda, they think they are being very rational. They believe in what they call rationalism, or the scientific method. They say, where is God? You can't show us God, therefore there is no God. And they take pride. You see, we're very rational. The idea is that by our own intelligence, we can understand everything. Their idea is that if you can't see God, that means there's no God. And in this way, they've confused many people. Because in the schools also they teach science. By science we're discovering so many things. So people have developed great faith in science. Previously in India, if you quoted from Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, people will respect, oh, that's very, yeah, that must be true because Bhagavan said so. Nowadays, if we say Sri Scientist Uvacha, people think, oh, must be right, the scientist said. People think that scientists are very authoritative. It must be true. But we can know practically for sure whatever one scientist say, another scientist will disagree with. And whatever the scientists say today, after 20 years or 50 years, they'll change their theory. If we can imagine that science goes on in the same way it's been going on, then we can imagine in 500 years, people will look back and think that all the things that people used to believe in today, in the year 2018, they're all stupid, all wrong ideas. Already people doubt so many things about science. Not in India so much, because people have that natural pious tendency to accept a higher authority. Even though the politicians cheat them left, right and center, they still don't get angry at the politicians. So the people tend to respect scientists, but in the Western countries, a lot of people have lost faith in science. Because they say all different things. For instance, in the Western countries, many people don't believe that man went to the moon. Many people don't believe that the earth is a globe, as we're taught in school, but they believe that it's flat. And many people don't believe in doctors because they think they're just taking our money. They're not trying to get us healthy. They've lost faith that science is actually very rational. But the very basis of so-called rationalism is irrational. The idea that we can only believe in what we can see and what we can understand with our mind, that's not a very rational proposition. Because we are very, very tiny living beings in a very small place. Small place. Karur is a small town. But the whole planet is very small compared to the whole universe. So our position is something like little ants. With our limited intelligence and limited experience, how much can we know? There is a theory that the whole universe came into being by an explosion. Is it not? You've all heard of this. Big Bang. Big Bang theory. You've all heard this, right? There was a big, 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 big bang. How do you translate? And then the whole universe came into being. With all the laws of science exactly the way they are. And no God. That proves there's no God. First of all, there's absolutely no proof that the universe came into being by a Big Bang. It's a speculative theory. And even if it did, it must have been a controlled bang, because how can it be that after that everything came into place in such an ordered way? Here we are sitting here and we want to, by observing the present state of the universe, as we can only see a little bit through our telescopes. Now how can we understand that how it came into being? If you see a butterfly, how can you understand that it came from a caterpillar? If you see a chicken, how can you understand that it came from an egg? We can understand that the chicken comes from an egg because we see that the egg bursts and out comes the little baby chick. But by guesswork, we could never understand. Or even if you bring scientific instruments and measure the chicken. You can measure what is the chicken's heart rate. give it an ECG scan, brain waves of the chicken. But however much you scientifically study the chicken, you could never guess that it came from an egg. So the idea that we can look through a telescope and find out how the universe came into existence is irrational. The very idea that we can understand everything by our own intelligence is irrational. Okay, you can all see this. Can you all see? I'm holding in my hand a steel dhaba. It's a very ordinary thing. If you look at this, you won't be astonished. In every house in India, at least, there's something like this, steel dhaba. Now, if I told you that this came into being from an explosion, you'd think I'd be crazy. And I would be crazy. And I would be crazy if I believed that this came into being from an explosion. It's a very ordinary thing. But so much intelligence went into making this. First of all, you have to locate the iron ore, and then you have to extricate it. Then you have to have a factory, steel processing, maybe. Maybe in Salem, still. And you have to, it's a whole process how you have to smelt the iron ore with a little carbon to make stainless steel. And then it has to be exactly the right thickness. And designed so the top fits on nicely, I can easily take it off. But it fits firmly so it doesn't fall. You see, the cover doesn't fall off. And then we think of the company that made it, and they're calculating the profit, and so many things. So much intelligence and endeavor and organization and design goes into making one ordinary simple dhaba. And the whole universe, which is incredibly complex, and they say, explosion, no design. Irrational. Doesn't make any sense. Now, those who claim to be very intelligent and atheistic, they will say things such as, "Oh, you see, in Hinduism, elephant head god. What is this nonsense?" They think, we haven't seen an elephant-headed God, So there's no such thing. So as I told you, I was born in this lifetime in England. And a few generations previously, people were going from England exploring all over the world. Now in England, there are not so many animals. There are dogs and cats, chickens, pigs, cows, horses, and then you get a few others like weasels and foxes, but there's mostly like that. Not very big animals. So some explorers came back from Africa. And they described the elephant and the giraffe and the rhinoceros. An elephant, very big, powerful animal with a long trunk. And the giraffe has a huge long neck and very long legs. There's no animal anything like that in England, indigenously. So people thought, these people have gone mad. There can't be any animal like that. Animal means a dog or a cat, and what's this giraffe as tall as a tree? They thought they've gone crazy. So here we are on a little planet, and we think we've seen everything. And if we don't see it, we don't believe it. There are many, many things that are beyond our immediate sensual perception. There are many, many things which we cannot understand simply by applying our intelligence. So it is rational to accept that there are many things which we cannot understand by our puny intelligence. Achintya kalu ye bhavana tangs tarkena yogi et prakritebhyo parangyachta tad achintyasya lakshanam. This is discussed in Mahabharata. That some things are achintya, which means they're not within the scope of our intelligence to fully rationalize and understand. There are some things which just by applying our intelligence we'll never understand. Therefore the Shastra recommends that we should not try to rationalize everything. There's no use to try to minutely analyze and understand everything. Even in our day-to-day life, some things we go on with life, but we don't really think about it. We can't rationalize it. For instance, love. Naturally, anyone will feel very sad if their father or mother dies. But why is that? Because if we think just in terms of so-called rationalism, that everything is just chemicals, then what's the difference between a dead father and a living father? Why should we be sad that someone died? If our father is just a bunch of chemicals, there's no soul, there's no Atma, then what does it matter whether he's alive or dead? We can ask the so-called rationalist that he has his wife. So why does he feel any affection for his wife? Why should we feel affection for anyone? If everything is just chemicals, we feel affection for others because the Atma is present in everybody. In fact, you can tell the rationalist that, well, why do you eat? That's not rational. Why do you do anything? Why do you try to maintain your body if it's just chemicals? So in so many ways, this so-called atheism is itself completely irrational. There is order in the universe because there is God. There is order in the universe because there is God. It's a simple thing to understand. But in the name of being more intelligent, people are becoming less intelligent. Now, one reason that this atheistic movement became very strong here in Tamil Nadu is because of various atrocities that were being committed in the name of religion. Some people, they were harassing others in the name of being higher caste. So that may be a valid complaint. But on the other hand, we understand people are born into different positions according to their previous karmic activities. It's an easy thing to understand. As Lord Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, Purushaf prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam gunasango sya sadasadyoni janmasu. That we, the Atma, we are in material nature. And according to our actions within the modes of nature, we get different kinds of bodies, higher and lower. But that shouldn't, if someone is born in a higher position, that doesn't mean they should oppress those in the lower position. But it is irrational to conclude that because there's some misuse of religion, that religion is all wrong. Is quite irrational. Just like, for instance, if there is a school and the teacher misbehaves with the pupils and treats them very badly, that doesn't mean that all education should be stopped. That's an irrational conclusion, is it not? The teacher has misbehaved, so all education should be stopped. Irrational conclusion. So religion has been misused, therefore all religion should be stopped. Irrational conclusion. It is very rational to consider that there is a meaning in the universe. Just like this dhaba was made for a specific purpose. Why was it made like this? It's just very suitable for drinking water or milk or coffee or whatever. So why does the universe exist? That's a more difficult question to answer, isn't it? Dhabba is a very simple thing and we can very easily understand what is its purpose. The universe is much more complex. So it may be very difficult for us to understand what is the purpose. But if we don't understand the purpose and therefore we say that it has no purpose, that is irrational. If you don't understand what the purpose of this is and therefore you say it has no purpose, then you can't get the benefit of using it. So, if we don't know what the purpose of the universe is, and then we say, oh, no purpose, no God, then we can't get the benefit of the universe. It is natural in the human form of life to wonder, what is the purpose of life? As stated in the first of the Brahma Sutras, Vedanta Sutras, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now we have attained this human form of life, we should inquire into Brahman. What is that Brahman? Kim tad Brahma? Arjuna asks Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what is Brahman? Yato va imani bhutani jayante. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is stated, that from which everything arises comes into being. yena jatani jivanti, that in which everything exists. Yat prayat yabhisang vishanti, that into which or by which everything is ultimately destroyed. Tad vijigyasasva, that is the proper subject of inquiry. Tad brahma, that is brahma, reality. Then elsewhere in the Upanishads we find aham brahmasmi, I am brahma. Then we have to think, am I the source of all the universe? No. Then if I am Brahma, then what am I? And that we find again in Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Param Brahma. Supreme Brahman, and Krishna describes our position. Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. We are all parts and parcels eternally of Krishna. But then why are we struggling in this material world? Manashashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. We're struggling in this world because we're trying to satisfy the mind and the senses. So this knowledge we get from Shastra. And if we apply our intelligence, we can understand it all makes sense. But what is taught in Bhagavad Gita, that has to be accepted with some faith. The so-called rationalist will say, well, we don't believe in faith. We accept everything on science. But you believe everything came from a Big Bang. Did you ever see a Big Bang? Did any scientist ever see a Big Bang from which the whole universe came? It's just their faith, that's all. They can't prove anything. So we much more rationally believe that there is a creator of the universe. And he has created the universe with a purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is that we are here in this material world, we are in ignorance of our actual position. And we are trying to be happy through our mind and senses. But if we become a little thoughtful, we can see what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, that this whole material world is anityam asukham. It is temporary and not happy. Then we have to inquire, why is it that I want to be happy, but I have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease? So to get that knowledge, we have to approach a guru. Tadvijnanartham sagarum evabhigachet. To understand this science of atmagyan, one has to approach a guru. And what is the qualification of a guru? Shrotriyam. He must have heard the Vedic knowledge. And Brahmanishtam, he must be fixed in that knowledge. This is the way to attain spiritual knowledge. When we understand that by trying to use our own intelligence, we can never become happy, then we have to place our faith in the higher power. Now, this dabba, it's a very simple thing. But if we purchase something more complex, like a mixie, in every Indian home there's a mixie. It comes with an instruction manual, which tells you, plug into the socket, and it gives all diagrams. It tells you how to use it. And all the different things you can do with it. So it's a little complex, so there's an instruction manual. And if you still can't work it out, then someone will show you, someone who knows will show you. And some things may be more complex. Just like if you get a computer in your home, you'll probably need some, it takes a little time to show you how to use it and what to do with it. But if you don't know how to use a computer and you just say, oh, it's useless, useless, forget it, then you can't get the benefit of a computer. But if you take the instruction manual given by the maker, by the manufacturer, then you can understand how to use it. And if it's very complex, then you have to have an expert to show you also. So the manufacturer of this universe is Bhagavan. It didn't come into being just by a random explosion. That is a foolish idea. If we think we can make the whole universe by explosions, then we should do explosions and make computers and cell phones and clothing. But it's a ridiculous idea. So the manufacturer of the universe is Bhagavan. And he gives the instruction manual. It's called the Vedas. And there he sends experts also to help us to understand. The experts are the gurus who instruct us how to act in such a way that we can utilize the human form of life to get free from birth and death. And it's very, it's scientifically verifiable also. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Pavitram Paramam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartanavyayam. Krishna says this is the highest knowledge. What is the highest knowledge? Is it physics or biology or mathematics? No, highest knowledge is knowledge of God. But it's also Raja Guhyam. It's somewhat mysterious. But it's the most pure knowledge. That's why it's the highest. Pavitram Paramamidam. And we can practically experience. We can practically experience, if we practice Krishna consciousness, we can experience how we become very happy. This is the scientific test of Krishna consciousness. By following this process, this understanding this Atma Gyan, then we get Atma Sukh. And it's a fact, anyone who chants Hare Krishna and applies themselves seriously to Krishna consciousness, they become happy on the spiritual platform. Sometimes people are very surprised that in our movement there's no meat, loud, no fish, no eggs, no tea or coffee even. No garlic or onions. People become very surprised. How can you do that? Where's the pleasure? Where's the happiness if you don't have these things? But in Krishna consciousness, we take pleasure by being linked with Krishna, who is all pleasure, linked with Him in bhakti. So all this meat and anya, all these things, that's only for the sukh, the pleasure of the tongue. But chanting Hare Krishna, that is the pleasure of the soul. It is a higher pleasure. So we can judge by the result. This is spiritual science. And we invite all the atheists to give up their useless ideas and chant Hare Krishna with us and be happy. So I've taken much of your time. I know that you're all very pious people, otherwise you wouldn't be coming here. But especially in the modern age, it's not enough to believe in God, we have to understand why to believe in God. Therefore, Krishna himself explains himself in Bhagavad Gita. Our most worshipable Sri Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he preached Krishna consciousness in America. He was able to establish Krishna consciousness because he presented it in a very scientific and rational way. Not simply sentiment, but giving people rational reasons why they have to accept Krishna consciousness. And he also produced many books, translations of Shastra, God's instruction manual. So to understand this science of Krishna consciousness, we have on display many books which give rational knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now you can show the books. We have many books, including the science of self-realization. Yeah, so tell about the books. And if there are any atheists here, or people who are influenced by that, or doubtful, then you discuss with us. If there are any atheists here, or people who are influenced by that, or have doubts, then you may discuss with us. We are confident that if you are not simply dogmatically atheistic and you're prepared to discuss in an actually rational way, then we can convince you that there is God and you should surrender to Him. Don't waste your valuable human form of life being influenced by these nonsense people who tell you there's no God. This human form of life is very rarely attained. After many, many lives, we get the opportunity of human life. Now in this human form of life, we should utilize it to become fully God conscious, Krishna conscious. There is no use living like an animal. If we simply spend our whole day, every day, simply working to get food and live in a house, then how are we different from the animals? Human life is meant for understanding God. And it's very easy to have God realization in the modern age by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So don't be misled by these foolish people who think that they are intelligent and say there is no God. So if anyone has any questions, please put them now. Do we have a mic for that? Yeah. If anyone has a question, please raise the hand and we'll bring the microphone to you. How did we get in this mess in the first place? That's the question. How did we get in this place?
Yeah.
In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Ichha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa. We're in this situation due to material desire and due to envy. We are meant for love, but we have just the opposite, bad feeling toward others. And because we see a difference between ourselves and God, then we are illusioned. So our natural propensity is to love. And the central object of love is Krishna. But Krishna bhuli se jivanadi bahimukh. By forgetting Krishna, by giving up our attitude of love and service to Krishna, then we become inimical to Krishna. Atev maya tare deya sangsara dukh. When we become inimical to Krishna, then we enter this world of distress. Illusion and distress. So that's how we got here. And we can get out of here by reviving our natural love for Krishna. Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Person who we are naturally meant to love. Any other question? Yeah, please give the mic here. Hare Krishna. What do you say?
I know.
Okay, translate into Tamil. I heard. Just. I couldn't understand. You have to tell me. Yeah, okay. I couldn't follow what you said.
He's in everything.
God is in everything. So, he's omniscient. I couldn't follow it, no. Where does he say that? Where in Bhagavad Gita? Which verse? I don't know it either. I've studied Bhagavad Gita for 40 years and I don't know such a verse. But wait a minute. You're making a case based on a statement that Krishna says, I am Bhishma, I am Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita. But I don't think there's any verse. You've all read Bhagavad Gita. Do you have any verse where Krishna says that? So he said it in Tamil? God is in everything. That doesn't mean that everything is directly God. Krishna is in your heart. Krishna is in my heart. But you are not Krishna and I am not Krishna. So, in one sense, everything is God because everything is expanded from Him. As He states in Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatamidam sarvang jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastata. Krishna says, this whole universe is expanded from me. In one sense it is Krishna's form, but then Krishna himself is the person and the universe is like his impersonal manifestation. All living beings are in Krishna, but still Krishna is aloof from everything. Just like to give an example, there's the Birla, big businessman Birla has his factories. They're all expansions of his energy. They're going on by his direction. So you can say that Birla is present in his factory. But the factory is not direct. In one sense it's all Birla, but in another sense not. So we are all living beings, we are all part and parcel of Krishna. But we are not Krishna. And he gives us all a little independence to choose whether to serve him or not to serve him. If we choose to serve him, we live in the spiritual world Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha there are no wars, there's no fighting, there's no hatred, there's no factories, there are no political parties. Everyone is happy, united in serving Krishna. When we forget Krishna, then we become trying to make ourselves the center. Then there becomes competition. Then there becomes hatred. That is the material world. It's just like if you have a body of water and you throw one stone, so many ripples will come. And if you throw another stone in exactly the same place, more ripples will come. You can throw one stone after another, but if you throw them in the same spot, then all the ripples will continue to come out. In a harmonious way. But if we throw stones in different parts of the water, then all the ripples will clash and it'll be chaos. So in the same way, if we all put our attention on the same spot, on Krishna, then there will be harmony. If not, there will be chaos. So Krishna gives us independence to choose whether to serve him properly or not. If we misuse it, then we come to the material world, which is the place of strife and struggle. Just same thing, a few people are leaving, make sure they take prasadam before they leave. Creating also?
Difference in the case.
That I already said. He does. He does create everyone as good. But he gives us independence also. So we can choose to be burned. If we didn't have any choice, then we'd just be machines. You can make a robot, but a robot cannot love. We are meant to love God. If we have the capacity to love, that means we also have the capacity to hate. Krishna wants us to love Him and everyone else. But He does not force us. It is misuse of our minute independence by which we do wrong things. And in the modern age, the whole propaganda is to be banned. From TV, cinema, internet, even in the schools, they're promoting all bad things. Therefore, we need sadhu sangha, we need holy association. Then we can become pure. I'm from a very, very sinful background. But I, by the grace of my guru, Srila Prabhupada, I got lifted up from that. So if someone as fallen as me can come to this pure way of life, then what to speak of all of you who are very pious by background? This is scientific proof that Krishna consciousness works. Hare Krishna. She's not speaking in Tamil? Echo, you can't understand. Hare Krishna. Prapancham, prapanchik jagat. What is this universe? What is this total This universe is Lord Krishna's Bahiranga Shakti, his external. This is a place where people come when they don't want to love Krishna. It is like a prison. We are imprisoned here by material desires. We have to get free from material desires, then we get free from this prison. It is a place of suffering. We should go out from here and go to the spiritual world. How to get out of the jail? Get out of the jail by chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we'll finish now because it's becoming a little disordered. Okay, finish. Any more questions? You can ask just after this. Mataji? Questions, you can tell her. Tell her. And book signing. Sridhar Srinivas.